Dave and Darren.
Goal!
Wait, I can't hear you.
Goal!
Is your mic not plugged in? What am I doing wrong here?
Oh, you got it turned on?
Yeah. Oh, there you are. Are you not?
Sure.
How about
now? Okay, there you go.
Okay, let's start over. Make sure that's there. That'll be there. Okay. It's Dave and Darren.
Goal!
It's the we just started the second half of Team USA versus Iran.
That's right, patrons. Welcome to the World Cup Spooktacular.
So we will be doing the podcast here just for you patrons during the second half of this game. Did you watch any of the first half?
I saw a little bit. I saw him score the goal.
Christian Pulisic.
And fall into the goal.
It would fall into the goalkeeper.
Goalkeeper.
I'll say this.
And you can't substitute, huh? I guess if you substitute, you're done?
Yeah, I'm sure I don't know, because my understanding of soccer comes from when my kid used to play soccer, and they subbed in and out all the time.
Right.
But they were kids. I guess they were saying that, yeah.
So they were playing with a man short.
They were shorthanded, which I didn't know that was a thing you could do in soccer. And
it's like a power play.
Listen, you got to say this for American football. When a guy in American football is hurt,
yeah,
he's really hurt. Yeah, all of these guys
they don't tend to flop.
It's just ridiculous.
Because you can see they got hurt.
Right.
Because there's a bone sticking out of his leg.
Thank you, Joe Theismann. No one's ever accused him of being
a
big phony.
These guys just act like they're hurt because they're tired.
Right. Oh.
And the reason, and they're tired because part of the, they're always kicking the ball backwards.
See, I would just assume if
that
I were.
That should be a foul. That should be a penalty. You can't kick the ball backwards.
If I were a ref, I would just assume all of them are fakers all the time.
Yeah.
That none of this is real. This is all just, you know, oh, I'm so hurt. Are you? Get back up. No, you're not hurt. That's what I'd say. You're fine. Don't worry about it.
They paid me for 90 minutes, and
I don't get
any additional dollars.
I got to run around the same as you, and then they add extra time.
Yeah,
I don't
at
get
the
paid
end of
for
each
that.
Half.
I don't get paid for that additional time. This is a ridiculous.
As opposed to adding additional time, mm-hmm. How about you just stop the clock when the ball goes out of bounds?
See, that's another thing I don't.
How
get.
How difficult is that?
Right, if a guy's hurt, just stop the clock. So much of this doesn't make any sense, but we are watching the
U.S. is leading
the match.
Iran. Am I saying that correctly?
It's Iran.
Iran.
Yes. Yes. Don't say Iran. That's a big bugaboo for Cristiano Amanpour.
I thought it said that they were up 3-0. It was just that they've had 3 corner kicks to none.
It should be 2-0.
Oh, those are nice looking shoes.
Are you talking
what
about
is that teal?
What we're wearing or what they're wearing?
What he's wearing. The other guy.
The Iranian gentleman. Uh-huh. I didn't.
You probably can't get those here.
I only just got home not that long ago. I didn't see if they got in trouble, the Iran men's team, for. Did they sing or did they not sing? Do you know?
They were lip syncing.
Okay. Well, that's okay. You can. Is that like. Was that like the compromise they came up with? Or. Because they were told if you guys don't sing the national anthem on TV, mm-hmm. We're going to go after your families. So you want to think about this? So they did lip syncing. So it was kind of
well, what kind of country does that?
Well, they're not great. It's not my favorite. I'm gonna ask you this because this has been driving me nuts now for a couple of weeks.
Big landmass though, Iran.
Is it?
Yeah.
What like what about the size of Texas?
Big.
How big is it?
Big.
Is it really?
Yeah. Big.
When you're driving around, you're getting things done.
Yeah.
Oh. A quick sidebar. I took a different way home today, and I went through downtown Davenport.
Okay.
Oh, this is going to kill you. I don't know if I should tell you this, especially.
What did they get rid
of? This close to Thanksgiving. I don't know if I should tell you this, but it looks like there's a new restaurant going in downtown Davenport that's called Loafers.
Of course.
Your multi-million dollar idea.
Yeah, of course.
It just says Loafers.
But I think it's just a bakery, isn't it?
Oh, that makes more sense. Because, so like, yeah, the they same. Had like a big baguette.
Yes. It's not.
So it's not your idea.
Meatloaf sandwich,
right?
Restaurant.
You were going to open up your own fast food place called Loafers, and you were just going to serve meatloaf sandwiches.
Yeah, the motif would be a tribute to laziness.
That's what you're going for the decorations.
Uh-huh. Raji.
Yeah, you got yourself a nice big black and white picture of the Three Stooges just laying on top of each other, that sort of thing.
I picture like maybe a mural with like a guy in a hammock sleeping, and the lawnmower is right by him, yeah. And the grass is just super overgrown.
There's that.
Welcome to Loafers.
There's also a picture of a guy with the hat over his eyes as he's sleeping on a building that's like, you know, 70 stories up. That just sort of look.
Finally, a celebration.
From like the turn of the century. The other century.
It's a celebration of sloth.
Exactly.
That's what Loafers is all about.
And get yourself a delicious meatloaf sandwich.
Reasonably priced.
Yeah.
So I was driving around. This actually happened about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I'm driving around, running errands. I don't know what the hell I was doing. But do you ever, of course you do, when you're driving, you look in your rearview mirror and just see who's behind you? Do you ever like look in your rearview mirror when you come? Oh, I should say when you're at a stop. Because what happened to me at the corner of, let's say, Brady and Kimberly.
And specifically look for the person in the car?
Well, yeah. Do you ever do that? Like look in the rearview mirror to see who's behind you and then you notice there's a person behind you? Like you ever look to see the driver behind you?
Typically, I just notice if there's a vehicle.
See, I feel weird sharing this because I feel like I'm going to come off like I'm just constantly looking at people. But I just...
I mean, I'm not saying I don't from time to time see an actual person in a vehicle.
What I'm telling you is I'm at this red light and I look behind just to see what the car is behind me. And I notice the driver and I look in the rear view mirror. I'm like, oh, okay.
Striking?
No. This is a middle-aged chap. I'd say between 55 and 60.
At the wheel?
No, that would have been better. The guy, he was sucking on his thumb. And not like...
Was he eating chicken?
No, there was no food. He just had his thumb, and it was like a baby sucking on their thumb.
Had he injured his
thumb? It wasn't. I kept looking like, oh, he's probably got like a hangnail or something. Like he's working on something.
Yeah.
No, man. His thumb was all the way in his mouth and he was pulling on it.
And like, you saw this?
I saw this.
And then I'm just
floored, man.
Is that not acceptable?
I just thought it was so bizarre. Huh. Is that a thing people do? Do grown-ups suck their thumbs? Does it help you cope when you're driving? I mean, yeah, I don't know. Is it a coping mechanism?
I don't know.
Maybe you shouldn't be driving if you're still sucking your thumb,
now,
right?
I never had a problem with sucking my thumb, I'm also not a nail biter.
Yeah.
I've got friends that are nail biters that have really done a number on their nails to the point where they're just kind of, well, they don't really even have nails.
Really?
But they do have something you can put on your nails to make you stop sucking eating your nails.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I think I've heard of that.
It's basically almost like a nail polish. They put that on there and it'd make you sick if you got it in your mouth, right?
I think that's right. Yeah. It's like a EpiCap or something. Well, when I look this up, it says that adults who suck on their thumbs, it's to help them reduce anxiety and stress.
Well, it's probably the same thing for little kids.
Yeah, but
same reason, but
a little kid's not driving a vehicle.
What's a little baby got to be stressed about? Okay.
They talk about the causes of adult thumb sucking. They say for kids, it's between 70 and 90% of children that suck their thumbs.
Up to a certain age.
Yeah, most kids stop. Most kids stop between the ages of 2 and 4. This dude was 60 years old.
We almost encourage thumb sucking for little babies, don't we?
I don't know that it's encouraged. You think it's encouraged?
Having said that, I don't know how you can encourage a baby.
I feel like the whole
positive reinforcement, I guess.
I feel like the whole like plastic nook thing was invented to get kids to not have their thumbs in their mouths.
Yeah.
Like here, put something in your mouth that we can put in the dishwasher every once in a while, as opposed to your thumb, which has probably been, you know, God only knows
where.
Yeah,
but I would tend to think that some kids probably get hooked on like a Nook harder than they would their thumb.
Yeah, I mean,
some little kids, I mean, they're a couple of years old, aren't they? And they still have one of those things?
That can happen.
Yeah.
But I was just wondering, like, maybe this guy had gone through some childhood trauma. Like, I'm not trying to judge, but also, what the hell are you doing? And then I was wondering, like, was he doing it looking for people to look at him? Like, is that his thing? Like, I'm a thumb sucker. I need people to see me do it.
I wonder if it's the only place he does it.
Is in the car?
Yeah, just like picking your nose.
Yeah, you do pick your nose a lot more in the car than you do anywhere else, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, you don't see people just walking down the street picking their nose for the most part.
I mean, I would hope not. They say that they have done a big study at Harvard, and these people are all wearing Harvard ties.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, sure, they went to Harvard. And they say that after crunching a bunch of numbers, they have determined that organ donations and transplants increase sharply days after the largest motorcycle rallies.
Who needs to study that?
The number of organ donations and organ transplants goes up markedly during large motorcycle rallies, according to a newly published analysis.
I need a transplant because I watched a motorcycle rally on TV?
That's not the connection. The connection is, after a giant motorcycle rally, there's a lot more organs available suddenly.
Or people want to hit the road on their bike.
Yeah.
And then they hit the road. Okay. Off of their bike?
I really shouldn't have been on this, but the rally's in town. Yeah, this just appeared in the Journal of American Medicine.
I would tend to say that that's unnecessary information.
Well, yeah, you're going to ruin it. If you're looking for an organ, here's what I would say. If you're a family that's looking for an organ donation, go to a place where they have big rallies. Find the nicest hospital near Sturgis. And just, you know, sit in the parking lot for a week, and then they'll have something for you. They say in regions where the 7 largest motorcycle rallies were held throughout the United States between 2005 and 2021, there were 21% more organ donors per day on average, and 26% more transplant recipients per day on average during the motorcycle events, compared with the days just before and after the rallies.
Yeah, but the thing about that is, with like a transplant, mm-hmm. if you need it now.
Right.
It's not like, I'd like to just put this on ice for later.
But if you're someone who needs a transplant and you know there's a big motorcycle rally coming up, this should give you hope.
Do we have a big motorcycle rally?
Oh, not anymore. There used to be that one in downtown, right? I think they got rid of that.
Sturgis?
I thought they called it Sturgis on the River.
Sturgis
but then
on the River?
I think someone explained to them that you can't call it Sturgis on the River.
Yeah.
Because that's a copyrighted thing.
It's like, oh, yeah, we're going to have a fantastic event. It's called Super Bowl on the River.
Yeah, right. There's a reason, you know, the roller coasters and whatnot at Modern Woodman Park, they don't call it Disney World on the River. The lawyers get involved real quick in that. Uh-huh. I think they called it something else, but I don't think, maybe it happens. I don't really know much about motorcycles, if I'm being completely honest.
Well, you shouldn't know about it.
I mean, yeah, you saw what happened to me on a unpowered scooter, for crying out loud. Can you imagine how quick I'd be dead on a motorcycle?
Although, what about one of those electric bikes?
Yeah, no, not for me. No. I don't
I mean,
like,
you charge it up yourself, kind
of. Yeah, I don't like the idea of not being in control of...
You are in control.
Yeah, and it's not for me. It's not for me. Like, I get it. This is the thing about motorcycles. I've always understood the romance of the open road and all that. I just know for me, I'd be dead driving it home from the dealership.
Yeah, because you'd hit some gravel and that'd be the end of
it. Yeah, right. I would be the guy who hits the one pebble in the road the wrong way.
No, I would be the same. I'm Pee Wee Herman. Right through the billboard.
Right.
Day one.
Exactly.
Minute one.
I don't need that.
I'm not going to pretend that wouldn't be the case.
Exactly. No thanks. Large-scale motorcycle rallies attract hundreds of thousands of attendees, and previous studies have shown that these events are accompanied
by an increase.
Yeah, they do is what this data tells you.
These events
are accompanied by increases in traumatic injuries and deaths from motor vehicle crashes.
When you have a motorcycle rally, someone doesn't die every time.
I wonder about that, Darren.
It's like
I bet
an air show. They don't have a crash every time.
Well, the difference is an air show is is a spectator thing, whereas a rally, these are all participants. And it's, you know, it could just be a matter of you're on your way to the rally and somebody doesn't see you. And now you're dead because they weren't looking for the motorcycle. And now your pancreas is in, some kid that needs it, which I will say good for you for being an organ donor. I think that's pretty dope. But they're saying, no, there is an absolute increase. Researchers posed several questions, including whether organ donations rose along with trauma-related fatalities, and they did. Also, there was a difference in the quality of organs donated due to clinical or demographic differences in donors during rallies.
Young people.
It turns out there wasn't.
No?
No, it's all good. The spikes in organ donations and transplantations that they found, it says here, it's disturbing. If not entirely surprising, because they signal a systemic failure to avoid preventable deaths, which they say is a tragedy. Or is it a good way to get organs into people who are on the list and waiting? I don't know. I bet somebody dies every year at Sturgis. You don't think so?
Oh, it's, but I don't know if it has anything to do with
the motorcycles. What do you think it has to do with?
Mechanical bulls.
This is troubling. I just typed in Sturgis and Google auto completed it and said death toll 2022.
And
according to the South Dakota Department of Public Safety, 13 people died from motorcycle wrecks this year at the 75th annual motorcycle rally.
Huh.
Two motorcyclists killed in separate accidents over the weekend, bringing the total number of bikers killed in South Dakota for this year's Sturgis 13.
What percentage was due to stupidity?
I'm going to say 100%.
Yeah, that would be my guess.
One way or another, right?
Uh-huh.
And that's the other thing. You could be the most level-headed, conscientious motorcycle rider in the world.
And someone else wipes you out.
They're not looking for you. Yeah. Now, again, if you're someone who rides a motorcycle, I want you to have all the fun in the world and pray that you stay safe.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
It's just not for us.
For either one of us. See, it would be
for
us.
We would need two sidecars, and that doesn't really.
No, that wouldn't.
You might as well just have a car.
Hey, Crashy, what are you doing down there?
As opposed to riding around in two sidecars,
right?
How about we just sit next to each other in a car?
Well, this is fun.
This is kind of like motorcycle riding.
I'm gonna stick my head out the window, but not too far.
We wear goggles.
Not too far. We wear goggles inside the car.
Yeah, and scarves.
That's a smart look.
It is.
And like the Snoopy, when he's the Sopwith Camel, can we get one of those like smart leather helmets?
Yes. Yes. If we can pretend to ice fish, there's no reason we can't pretend to be on a motorcycle in a car.
We've got a lot of activities planned, don't we?
We have activities that we do. We've got a whole, I know this is a lame duck session, but we've got a lot of activities.
How's this for weird? A DNA analysis showed that a mother was also her daughter's uncle.
He was my boyfriend.
It seems like one of those riddles where you got to figure it out. Yes. But no.
He was my boyfriend!
A paternity test suggesting that a mother is also her daughter's father. That's something that can happen.
Some guy from Iran just missed a goal. Uh-huh. Kind of an open kick. I don't know about going home.
Yeah.
Watch this. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
I don't know that you want to do that.
Oh, boy. I just...
You might want to...
Let me ask you. After this, it's the round of 16.
Yes.
And is that you lose and you're out?
Yes.
That's what they call it, the knockout round.
Yes, you're done.
You get knocked out after one loss.
Once we establish the 16 teams, then... because if you were to win the next one... You'd be in the quarterfinals, wouldn't you?
And then we take on the Netherlands, they say. And you've always said.
If they win. Well, you got to love the Dutch.
Right. But not in this case, though.
Well, I mean, as far as if I was going to put money on something.
How can a paternity test suggest a mother is also her daughter's father? To answer that medical mystery, there was a paternity test result that had doctors very confused. And the answer is the genes of a vanished twin brother live on in the mother's DNA. Mm. So it's what they call a human chimera. You have DNA from
her twin brother.
Yes, that she somehow absorbed in the womb.
Oh.
People with DNA from more than one embryo. And they say it could be a lot more common than we thought. In recent decades, DNA studies have opened a new view on the truly messy biology of human reproduction, which is not always as textbook neat as health class images of sperm meeting an egg and 9 months later a baby resulting.
Well, and let's admit it, it can get messy.
Time to change the batter. It says here, the opening weeks of human development during pregnancy see rapid cell development in embryos. Sure. All orchestrated by a generic shuffle that sometimes takes a more complicated course. That can range from triplets to miscarriages. And one of the curious paths could lead to something called chimerism, where in an unknown number of cases, genes from a vanishing twin end up mixed in with those of a surviving sibling.
Sounds like a Stephen King novel, doesn't it?
Right.
The Vanishing Twin.
My brother, who I never met, is living inside me somehow.
Rent free.
Inside my head and in my feet. They say that this happened. There was a routine paternity test on a young girl. And when the test came back, it was confusing. First, some of the parts of the test suggested that the child's birth mother was not, in fact, her birth mother.
Well, that's not a very good test.
This is something they
call... I can tell you that that's the case.
This is something they call a maternal exclusion result. So imagine you're a woman, you have your kid take a paternity test, and it comes back and says, nah, this isn't your baby.
No, I had a baby.
Mm-hmm. The birth mother's blood sample tested as male, containing the XY chromosomes found in biological men, rather than the two X's responsible for female sex organs. So originally they thought that there was a mistake and things got contaminated, but no, they did some more digging around and they found that, this is something that you can have. You can have both sets of DNA, and your mother is also your uncle.
They're almost a little too much knowledge.
We were better off before well we knew all of that.
Yeah.
Apple Music releasing their number one song of the year. It's by the Kid Laroi and Justin Bieber. It's a song called Stay.
Okay.
I guess it was number one on the Billboard Hot 100 for 7 weeks this summer.
Shouldn't we? It's the number one song of the summer?
It was, it says here.
It's the number one song of the year.
It's number one song of the year, and it was the number one song. It was on the Billboard Hot 100. It stayed at the top position of the Billboard Hot 100 for 7 weeks this summer.
Okay, so they're saying that nothing in the final 4 weeks of the year, there's nothing that can catch this song.
I guess not. It says here that it was number one on Apple Music's top 100 global songs chart, and it stayed there for 51 days straight.
Now, when he does concerts, Justin Bieber.
Yes, Justin Bieber.
Bieber.
Not Beaver.
Justin Bieber.
Let me ask you this. Do you get the Bieber fever?
In what way?
Nice Bieber.
Thank you. I just had a stuff.
Yes, when he does concerts.
Does he still do baby, baby, baby?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that's like...
It's not really in his range anymore, is it?
That's the one I know.
Mm-hmm. You know, he's banned from the Quad Cities.
Is he?
Yeah, when he did a show at the Mark, he went to the old Toys R Us there. Uh-huh. Right at the intersection where I saw that guy sucking on his thumb
and
to bring it back.
Like a jackass?
And he was running around and they had to kick him out.
So he's banned from the Toys R Us in the Quad Cities.
That doesn't
you
exist.
You can't ban him from the whole Quad Cities.
I don't know.
Because Toys R Us had a bad run-in with him.
Toys R Us has had a lot more pull in this town than any of us realized.
They call the shots.
Yeah, I guess the Mark would probably take him back for a show if he wanted to do a show.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. My guess is he probably does do it. Right? Like, Britney Spears, if she were to come to town, she would do Baby One More Time if you could get her to put some pants on and sing for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't think she's interested in doing that. I think
I'm not interested in her doing it either.
No, everybody gets what
you
they
just
want.
Go right ahead and keep your pants off. My favorite is still. Do you think does she still use the umbrella as a prop?
No. She probably could though.
I would.
Elton John and Dua Lipa's Cold Heart was number one on the Shazam chart for this year.
Really?
And the song with the most read lyrics was "We Don't Talk About Bruno" from the movie musical Encanto. It says here that the data shows
that's
growing.
That's not Bruce Willis, is it?
No, different Bruno. That's the return of Bruno.
Oh, okay.
The data shows the growing presence of non-English tunes with African songs on the rise on the Shazam chart, as well as the Global Daily 100, while Japanese language songs made big gains on the most read lyrics charts.
Right on.
Yes. 21 non-English songs were in the Global 100.
That's all-time
record? That's more than double the number of songs last year. 55 Latin songs got to the Global Daily 100 in 2022. That's up 22% from last year. And in 2022, six of the 50 J-pop songs to reach the chart placed in the top 10.
What about the singing nuns?
I don't think that's a thing anymore. Although
they don't tour anymore?
No, but there was a singing nun who won big on, I think it's The Voice or something over was it Italy? Or there's a new singing nun, and she won the competition. And now she just announced, yeah, I'm done being a nun.
You know what you could have?
I think I...
You could have a food truck that basically where you sell like health food, but you call it the frying nun.
I bet that's been done.
Meaning that you don't fry anything.
Ah.
We don't fry anything.
Yeah.
We're the frying nun.
It was Italy's version of The Voice. Sister Christina Succiccia. She got back to the convent, and then she's like, this isn't working for me.
You quiet now.
The song that she won with, by the way, What a Feeling from the movie Flashdance, R.I.P. Irene Cara.
But when she got back, they were like, okay, that's enough of this. Let's not turn this into a habit.
We need you. Bing bong. We need you to do some chores. Yeah, and she's like, no, I think I'm going to just go ahead and be a big recording star. I mean, this has been a lot of fun, gals, but...
You know, that chastity and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some hot Italian dudes I met and see ya.
They showed me some
Wouldn't want to be ya.
They showed me some things.
The Guinness World Record for the largest ever serving of guacamole... This happened.
Let that sit around forever.
In Mexico, a Mexican city's inaugural Avocado Expo featured a Guinness World Record being broken when a team of 300 cooks,
how many gallons,
mixed up 10,957 pounds of guacamole.
Oh, that's a lot.
To officially break the Guinness World Record for the largest serving of guacamole, a record previously set by an 8,351. Pound serving of guac.
Now, is that a situation where you just bring your own bag of chips?
I mean, you'd have to, right? The dish contained more than 10 tons of avocados, as well as onions, tomatoes, serrano pepper, lime, and cilantro. That's Jack White's recipe.
It is. It's everyone's
recipe. He's going to be furious when he finds out.
It's everyone's recipe.
He's going to go out of his mind.
To put that to scale, was it like in like an Olympic-sized pool or what?
Yeah, it would have to be, right? It would have to be. Yeah. My guess is they just kind of...
Can you imagine jumping into an Olympic-sized pool full of guacamole? It would just be like...
That's the stuff of nightmares.
It would just be like thunk.
Yeah, you just go right into it. And while we're talking about Guinness World Records, I'm pleased to introduce to you Flossie, officially crowned now, as the oldest cat, the world's oldest living cat.
My mom told me, let me guess how old the cat is.
Yeah, it's a British-born Flossie, set a new world record as the world's oldest living cat. Yes?
My mom said 26.
Well, your mom is absolutely right.
Yeah.
Flossie was born in 1995.
She likes all that cat talk.
The cat has had a number of owners during her lifetime. Is really? The cat outliving the people that take her in?
I mean, a lot of people live longer than 26.
Her new owner says she's in remarkable good shape for her advanced years. New owner? People just get tired of this cat? Like, my understanding was they died after like 10 years or something. This is ridiculous. Flossie was handed over to a charity at the age of 26 when her owner couldn't look after her anymore. They say here...
Couldn't or wouldn't?
Well, I mean, it's... Look, man, if the cat's that old, it's possible the owner is super old and it's like...
Wouldn't you get the cat when you were 70?
I couldn't, maybe. Well, I could see being 70 getting a cat.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Now somebody's entering the chat room here with some opinions. And yeah. That would be the cat that lives in my house.
Hi, Aria.
They say here we were flabbergasted when the vet record showed Flossie to be nearly 27 years old. She's the oldest cat that anyone's ever met, they say. And if you were to do the math in human years, this cat is 120 years old. I guess that's how that works. Have you seen the video where the guy and the woman are at the man and the wife are at the marriage counseling? Mm. And
where would I see this?
And you saw this?
is this like
and this?
It's like in a comic strip or
no? It's something I saw online.
How many people have that for? How many people have cartoon tattoos?
Oh, what do you mean? Like Ziggy or like anyone in particular?
Like a quick little cartoon conversation with a punchline and everything.
Like a Bazooka Joe comic.
Yes.
That would be pretty great.
If I could get
a Bazooka Joe comic.
Yeah.
You know,
something that's like four boxes.
My wife keeps threatening to get a tattoo. And, you know, she can do whatever the hell she wants. It's her dermis.
Don't let her do it.
But, well, no. This is the woman who I have to take kicking and screaming for a flu shot every year. And you're going to get a tattoo gun? You're out of your mind.
You know what? You should get her. You know what? If she has to get a tattoo, you have to have a compromise. You know what the tattoo's got to be of?
What's that?
A spider.
She's not going to do that. She wants.
She hates spiders.
She does. That would never work.
Call me spider.
She wants to do these waves. And her friend Sarah have like set an appointment for later on this month. Yeah, like waves. Just simple waves.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. It's never going to happen. She's going to get in that room. And she's going to run for the door. I've never been so certain of anything. I had this thought, though, the other day. A tattoo that I think I'm going to do this.
A cartoon?
Not a cartoon. I think it would look kind of good on my upper arm right here.
Yeah.
What I want to get is the album cover to Billy Ocean Suddenly.
Yeah.
See how it just kind of seamlessly goes into the white background there?
Yeah.
I think that'd be pretty boss. And when people would be like, oh, is that a friend of yours? I'd be like... That's a friend of all of ours. This is Mr. Billy Ocean. Are you not familiar with his masterpiece album, Suddenly?
That might not look bad on the back of your neck.
No, because I want to be able to see it. Want to be your lover, lover.
Different song.
Huh?
Different song.
Yeah, but it's on the album.
And quite frankly,
Suddenly, life has new meaning
Billy Ocean,
to me.
Billy Ocean has gray hair now.
Yeah, well, I'm going to get from this album cover, though. I'm going to get 1984.
Is that an
Billy
album
Ocean.
Cover or that's a single cover?
No, that's the album.
The album was Suddenly?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It also has a Caribbean Queen on it. And Love Really Hurts Without You. Mystery Lady. The Long and Winding Road. I mean.
Caribbean Queen was the number one song when my nephew was born.
Is that right?
Yeah. He's 38 years old now.
She is simply awesome. I like when in the video he's like at the movies and he comes out of the movies and he can't stand it. Can't stand the Love on the Run.
We were going to try to get Billy Ocean down in the district for years and we never made it happen.
Yeah, we kept talking to Aunt Carl about that and we just weren't able to make it happen. But they got rid
of Catherine as well. She knew about it.
Yeah, everyone was on board, I thought. But now that's not happening.
Remember when Catherine used to dress up in that cat outfit?
That was like the greatest all the time. Yes.
Yeah, that was not bad.
I got a story here from Australia.
10 minutes left in regulation, by the way.
And you know,
and we'll keep you updated with every goal that gets scored here during the World Cup. Spectacular.
Yes, the World Cup Spooktacular is
it's just that none
like nothing else
has nothing Again, they're kicking the ball backwards. Yeah. That should be a penalty.
They're going to win this game 1-0.
I don't know. I don't know.
You think Iran could tie?
If they tie it now, they are in trouble. And that's a momentum changer.
It's been on our end the entire time. We're going to be fine. I don't know that Iran has had a shot on goal yet.
Yeah, they have.
Did they?
I just mentioned it. In minute.
Well, you mentioned how it looked close, but I don't think that was on.
That counts as a shot on goal.
I don't think so, man.
Sure, it does.
No, they have different.
Anything counts as a shot on goal.
You're thinking of hockey.
No, it's a
completely different animal.
He kicked the ball at the goal. How is that not a shot on goal?
Because the goalie didn't get involved.
What do you mean?
Doesn't the goalie have to get involved for it to be an approach goal?
No, you could kick it up into the stands and it counts as a shot.
I hate it when we pretend to care or know anything about soccer. I don't like this.
I just get caught up in the feet.
People are paying to listen to this. We really got to bring our A game. Caught up in the fever. Oh, he's so ridiculous.
I just
like being part of the global fever.
I like to be a part of something bigger.
Well, wait a minute. That's my gimmick. You're stealing my shtick.
Actually, I don't.
5-year-old Australian boy survived being bitten, constricted, and dragged into a swimming pool by a python 3 times his size.
There's a big snake hanging right on top of the gate.
I'm glad you finished that sentence with 3 times his size. I thought you were just going to say 3 times.
It kept doing it.
Are we going to learn our lesson? Oh, that was close.
5-year-old Australian boy survived being bitten, constricted, and dragged into a swimming pool. Bo Blake was enjoying a swim at home when the 10-foot reptile struck. The two of them, according to his dad, still entangled, were pulled from the pool by Bo's grandfather. And the boy was pried free from the animal by his dad.
Not once, not twice, but 3 times.
Oh, son of a gun. Did that snake get him again?
Snake's back again.
Crikey.
Did he get Bo again? Bo Blake. It sounds like that kid's going to end up like on NBC's The Voice.
Bo is in good spirits to say, sir, and escaped with only minor injuries. His dad tells the Melbourne radio station 3AW, quote, "Once we cleaned up the blood and told him that he wasn't going to die because it wasn't a poisonous snake, he was pretty good, actually."
He got dragged down 2 more times after that.
Somehow the snake made his way under his bed and was waiting for him in the middle of the night. Yeah, this happened in a coastal town, Byron Bay, in New South Wales. Despite the lucky escape, the dramatic saga was still quite the ordeal, they say. Bo was just walking around the edge of the pool, and the python was sitting there waiting for a victim to come along.
I'll tell you what, must be nice to have a pool.
A big black shadow came out of the brush, and before they hit the bottom, it was completely wrapped around his leg. With no self-preservation whatsoever, Bo's 76-year-old grandfather, Alan, jumped into the pool.
With no self-preservation whatsoever? What do you mean?
This is the grandfather saving the kid. No. The grandfather was not thinking of himself.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the kid, like a completely incapable of defending himself.
No, the way the story is written is lauding the grandfather for not trying to preserve his own life.
I thought you were talking, they were taking a shot at Bo. By not attempting to save himself in any way.
Didn't really even put up a fight.
No, he didn't.
You 5-year-old pussy. Fight that snake.
He waved a white handkerchief and went under.
It says with no... That little bastard just shrugged his shoulders and said, whatevs.
He just waved it and said, going down for the last time, I guess.
5 years, it was a good run.
It was a good run.
With no self-preservation whatsoever, Bo's 76-year-old grandfather, Alan, jumped in the pool and passed the boy and the snake to Ben, the father. Yeah.
It passed the boy and the snake. It sounds like Grandpa swallowed both of them, too.
Ben held onto the python for about 10 minutes as he desperately tried to calm down his children and his father before releasing the snake back into vegetation.
Well, good for them for that. I mean, the snake was just doing what snakes do.
That's kind of what the dad is saying here. He says, listen, pythons are a fact of life. We're 8 hours north of Sydney. He says, look, this is Australia. This is what happens.
Having said that,
probably that snake's not going to come back after getting his ass kicked.
That, as true as that might be, mm-hmm. I don't think there ever was a python on the facts of life.
That would have made for a better show.
There's a snake loose at the boarding house.
Hey, has anybody seen Tootie? Why are these roller skates coming out of this python's mouth?
What's with the big lump in the snake?
And the catchphrase of the show is Natalie just going, I ain't afraid. The snake doesn't have a chance.
That's how they got rid
of
Molly Ringwald after the first season.
She's eaten by the snake. The Eastland python got a hold of her.
We had to write her out some way.
She was consumed by a snake.
We only promised her that one season. And
there's a big snake hanging right on top of the gate.
Girls, snake!
Okay, there's only 4 minutes left in regulation.
Yes. I think we're gonna pull through with this, Darren. I think it's going to be a great day for Team USA.
I don't know. I don't know that I've ever been this nervous.
Really? You think?
Well, look at me. I'm shaking.
Well, that has something to do with some lifestyle choices that you've made. You know that there's not just 4 minutes, right? You know that this is going to be another 15 minutes.
No, they're going to add some additional time.
Yeah, but the stoppage time is going to be like another 10 minutes.
Maybe. No, I don't know about 10. Mm. It could be anywhere from like 7, 8 minutes, maybe.
Okay. Well, if you feel nervous, I want you to know.
Are we going to jinx it by ending the show?
Well, I mean, we can stay on till the end if you'd like.
I don't know that I want to do that.
Yeah, I don't want to jinx it either. I feel like, you know,
I don't want this to.
I don't want to overstay our welcome, man. These patrons.
Nothing.
Yeah, that was a whole lot of nothing. Sorry.
See, like when Justin Fields runs 70 yards, mm-hmm. that's actually a thing.
Yes. This is. I mean, I don't know. I'm of two minds. Like, I get it. I get wrapped up in it, but I also think there are just so much better sports than soccer, you know? And they keep saying eventually this is going to take over. It's never going to take over here, right?
Well, it's taken over the world. It's just never going to take over America.
Right.
This isn't going to happen.
No. And our stuff's not going to take over the world. Like, gridiron, as they call it, isn't going to take over anywhere. Like, they can have all the games they want in London and Munich.
They call it gridiron?
Yeah. Yeah. They won't call it because
they won't call it football.
Right, because football is soccer. So they call it gridiron in like England and Germany and all across Europe. That. Yeah, it's called gridiron. That's going to do it, patrons. We want to thank you for your support. Thanks for hanging out with us. Hope you enjoyed this patron exclusive show.
Cup spooktacular.
Yeah, it really was.
This is the sort of thing that only happens like once every 4 years.
Well, maybe we do the December show during.
They won't still be playing that.
Well, they'll play the Netherlands in December.
No, they play the Netherlands this weekend.
Goodness for you, buddy. That'll be December.
Oh, we're going to knock out another one right away?
I think you know we're not going to do that.
Exactly.
Well, if they somehow... Okay, here's the pledge that I'm willing to make. If the Team USA somehow makes it
to the championship?
To the championship game, we'll do a 90-minute World Cup spooktacular.
Part two.
Exactly. Goal! Oh, no, wait, that was nothing.
That wasn't even close. It was a midfield.
Okay, he was offsides, I guess. That's going to do it for this patron-exclusive show. Thanks for your support and your patronage. Until we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
I think one of the sponsors is an Indian restaurant, looks like to me.
And you stay classy and
safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities. Represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport. Yeah, we keep it locked.
Rock out.
Come on. And it just don't stop. East Moline. Yeah, they keeping it hot.
Hoo-wee. What a cliffhanger. Oh, boy. Oh, my. That's a real crazy ending, huh?
And that's it. The game's over. Okay?
The game's over.
Let the new games begin.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.